Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated BF Goodrich All-Terrain TAK02. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, my people? I'm John. This is 3 and Out. Hopefully everyone's having a good day. Here's the plan. I wanted to dive into some comments Robert Griffin III had about Caleb and Justin Fields, and talk a little bit about quarterback drafts in recent memory that did not go well. And then just dive around the league. The Jets signed Mike Williams. Judy and Chase Young signed pretty big contracts, as well as the Netflix show coming out with the wide receivers, as well as George Kittle. We will also have a mailbag. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs on Instagram. My golf bets. Not going to lie, I've been on fire. I've made a decent amount of money this last month. And I was in the hole, big time. I mean, major red, five figures in the red after NFL. And I've battled back hard. So, right, your boy's hot. So I will post those on, because we did go low reacting to the players. I'm not going to do a breakdown of the Valspar, but I do have three picks I like for top 20s. So I will post that on all the social channels, as well as the volume will too. So I will get that out for anyone asking. If you're listening on Colin's feed, make sure you subscribe to 3 and Out. All this content is up on this thing called YouTube. It's a website owned by Google, has a lot of videos. We got you covered there. Just type in John Middlecoff, 3 and Out, go low. It's all up there. And thevolume.com, we have merch. But the game plan, keep doing some football pods the rest of the week. And let's just keep cranking out content because a lot's still going on. But first, I don't even know where... Oh, my cell phone's charging. I was going to grab my smartphone, because that is where you download a little app. And that app is called Game Time.
the official ticketing app of this podcast. I'm sure you'll see the NCAA tournament going on these next couple days, the quote-unquote play-in game, which I'm not opposed to. It just adds a little more drama to the tournament. And here's what I would do. If you want to go to one of these games this Thursday, this Friday, this weekend, if it's coming to your area, just download the Game Time app and use the promo code JOHN, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, and save $20. Very, very easy to do. Promo code JOHN, $20. Concerts, comedy shows, any college or pro event as well. Just use the promo code JOHN, save yourself $20. Don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code. John. Robert Griffin III, who has a podcast, I guess, and had some comments that I saw, I think like SportsCenter kind of cut it up and retweeted it and was kind of going viral over the last 24 hours, basically said that Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and refuse to go to the Bears, essentially because of the way that they treated Justin Fields. Now, before we dive into why this is a dumb take, all of our opinions are biases based on our experiences. Every single one of us, especially the older we get, are based on things from our past, right? Listen, I talk, I would say, pretty negatively about Chip Kelly. I was with the Eagles when he took over, and I got fired. You could say I have a bias there, and I would say that's fair. Now, I believe he's pretty fraudulent, not that good, and treats people pretty poorly, because I have firsthand experience of seeing it and seeing my friends that had to deal with him and their experiences. Now, you can say I'm wrong, but I would say my firsthand experience lends me to have a very educated opinion when I state something about the guy. And I think part of my role in doing what I'm doing is I can talk about the sport from a unique perspective that you're not going to hear anywhere else because of my experiences and because of the people that I continue to talk to in the league. Yet, I'm not a reporter, and I'm not trying to go back in the NFL, and I simply don't give a shit. So I'll just say whatever and bring it to you pretty unfiltered. Where RG3, like, his experience in Washington changed his life, right? He thinks he got screwed. Whether that's the Shanahans refused to help him out as his career went, whether it was whether they threw him out too quickly off an injury and derailed his entire career, whether it's just simply that those guys didn't want him. Like, that's not an opinion, that's a fact. Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan did not ever want RG3. They did not want to make the trade. They did not want to draft him. The owner forced their hand. That's why they drafted Kirk Cousins, who clearly they liked a lot more. So if you're sitting in RG3's shoes, you go going to a place that is the wrong spot to land can ruin your entire career. Because, listen, I'm not the biggest RG3 guy at all right now. I will not dispute in his younger years before he got injured, an explosive prospect. Had a pretty high ceiling. Would he ever been Lamar Jackson? I don't believe so. But he definitely would have had a very, very productive career that clearly didn't happen. And a couple years later, he's benched for Kirk Cousins, and the rest is history. And he's still bitching and moaning about it. Kirk Cousins, meanwhile, is making $450 million, kicking ass, taking names in terms of the bank account, and still playing, coming off a torn Achilles. Team lined up to get him for $100 million. So I understand, if I put myself in RG3's shoes, his bitterness and his perspective on this, even if I disagree. Because one, like, I'm sorry, Kyle Shanahan kind of proven he knows what he's doing, especially when it comes to a quarterback. And he might say, well, look, he ruined Trey Lance's career. And I'd say Trey Lance never could play. Should never have picked him that high. Look what he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. Look what the Raiders tried to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's pretty difficult to play with a quarterback who's not any good. But that's beside the point. RG3's comments about, let's start with this. Did Justin Fields not get a fair shot? I'm calling bullshit. Early on in his career, like a lot of young quarterbacks who go to bad teams, there's not much talent around him. So it is a difficult proposition. Yet this last season, when they traded for DJ Moore, Cole Kmet was becoming a very solid tight end. They drafted good offensive linemen. They had Mooney. There was more than enough to show that you were worth keeping around. And he didn't do it. That does not mean his career is going to be a disaster. That does not mean he can't resurrect his career. But this year, when they had the opportunity because of a great trade to have the number one overall pick, he didn't even come remotely close to showing enough with enough talent to at least show that. He didn't. Here's the other thing. Like when RG3's case, when someone doesn't want you, doesn't believe in you, and this is even different because ultimately Mike Shanahan was the head coach when RG3 was drafted. Ryan Poles didn't draft Justin Fields. Welcome to the real world. If you work for any company and the guy that hired you leaves, gets fired, moves on to another job, and someone else comes in, your job is in jeopardy. No business quite like football when new management comes in, either a new GM or a new head coach, are players' positions in question. Keenan Allen is one of the greatest players in the history of the Chargers. Just had a season where he had 110 catches in like 11 games. Jim Harbaugh comes in, trades him. Welcome to the National Football League. Justin Fields not only didn't get screwed, he honestly got the opportunity to go start for the Steelers. He was never going to start for the Bears. Even if they kept him around and they drafted Caleb Williams, he's never beaten that guy out. It's just not happening. So that is its own conversation. Fields did not get screwed. And I see that a lot on social media. They did him a disservice. Bullshit. He had the opportunity, like most players in the NFL and most people in life, you either run with it, and literally he tried, or you come up a little short. And luckily, when you have a lot of talent, like Fields has, he's going to get other opportunities. Now, Caleb Williams should hold out and pull an Eli. That to me is insane because, as and I've stated this the last, I think, 20 years, just thinking about it, I think this is easily, honestly, there might be a large gap between the second team, the best opportunity for a number one overall pick in terms of a roster he gets to inherit as a quarterback. Typically, these number one overall drafting teams fucking suck. They have nothing going for them. They don't have talent on offense, and they definitely are awful on defense. It's one thing when you lack people on offense. When your defense is awful, you have no chance because you're always playing from behind. So you're always in pass-first situations because you're down in the game with bad offensive lines, limited skill guys, and you're not able to run the ball, which can be a young quarterback's best friend. So you're at a huge disadvantage. You're playing basically with your hands tied behind your back. Look at Bryce Young this year. Even if, regardless of what we think about him sitting here right now, I think it's fair to say like he was at a very, very difficult position. It wasn't exactly advantageous to have some star year. Caleb Williams gets to inherit DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Number one drafting teams never have that on their team. He also gets a tight end, some young offensive lineman. Here's the other thing. His team, this isn't their only pick. They didn't have the number one overall pick. They won 7 games. They have the 9th pick, meaning they have draft capital, meaning they might draft some other sweet player that can help this guy. Now, the one thing that is fair to question is they have a coach who I read today that when they traded Fields, Eberflus called some of the, you know, team leaders on the team that were close to Fields. One of them was Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet's quote was, "I was getting ready to hit the town in Chicago, go out with some buddies and have a good night. And I got the phone call from the head coach and it kind of rocked me, even if I knew it was kind of inevitable. And I ended up not going out. I just kind of stayed in, drank my sorrows away." But my takeaway from that was, listen, is Eberflus a good head coach or not? We're about to find out. Pretty high-level guy. Clearly a pretty solid defensive coordinator. And just a good person. So you're not going... Historically, some of these teams were such jokes because economically, they had limited ability to be flexible. One of the problems in the latter years of Al Davis was his team didn't have any money. So it was very difficult for them to operate. It's why these high draft picks would hold out. Greg Papa told me these stories forever. He did not have the cash to give them the signing bonuses. That was, you know, less than 20 years ago. And he was not alone. A lot of these teams that didn't have these multi-billionaire owners were somewhat, you know, at a disadvantage because they didn't have the cash. And as these salaries were rising at just quick rates, well, nowadays, everyone is flush with cash. Whether you're Mike Brown or whether you're Jerry Jones or David Tepper, everyone is swimming in money. So the world's changed. You could be like, yeah, the Bears owner, kind of old, little out of it. Who cares? The franchise has cash. They have a general manager that clearly sees, you know, knows what he's doing. And if Eberflus can't get it done, they will be a very, very highly desired landing spot for a coach next offseason. So this notion that he should pull an Eli Manning is not only laughable, it would be bad business for Caleb. Like, this is a spot situated to go have success. Honestly, you could have a year where we're talking like, holy shit, we got C.J. Stroud last year, and now we got Caleb Williams. They have that much talent on the roster. And they potentially have a really good defense. Maybe not like the 85 Bears, but how many rookie quarterbacks get to go to a team with a top 12-ish defense? Never happens. If you suck in the NFL, it's rare that just your offense sucks. Typically, your defense is a joke. That's just not the case here. And obviously, this is, you know, I do the draft daily every week. This is all kind of tied into that. Sometimes it'll just naturally happen in the show. I saw this thing floating around on the internet that in 2021, which was the Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones draft, then the following year, which was, you know, Kenny Pickett and some other dudes, 19 quarterbacks were picked. Over a two-year span, 19 quarterbacks were drafted. As of today, going into this season, week one, only two of them are scheduled to be starters. Trevor Lawrence, who, a lot like Caleb Williams, was viewed as the number one pick when he was like 18 years old, and Brock Purdy. That's a pretty insane stat. Even if that 2020 fall season, when it comes to college football, is one of the great fugazis of all time, right? I mean, the schedules were all over the place. Half the teams only played league games. BYU's schedule was a joke. Trey Lance's team didn't even play a season. Justin Fields had to beg Kevin Warren to play because he wanted to cancel everything. Him, Jim Harbaugh, and Ryan Day were like, fuck out of here, you moron. We're playing football. That one didn't age as well. But, you know, now, ironically, Kevin Warren is running the Bears. But the Big Ten and the Pac-12 really, really had to fight to play, where the SEC's like, we're playing. We're rocking and rolling. And that's obviously, depending on where you live, things operated a lot differently in 2020. Hell, I remember in the Bay Area, it was insanity in the summer, and I came to Arizona on a golf trip, and it was like completely normal. This was in the summer of 2020. It's like, I already was on the fence about moving before 2020 even came about. I'm like, I'm going there. And don't regret it. But I think it brings to light that a couple things. I don't care how talented the player is. I don't care how big of a can't-miss the guy is. This shit is really hard. It is very, very difficult. It's hard to play professional sports no matter who you are, no matter what sport, no matter what position. Whether you're a goalie in hockey, whether you're a reliever in baseball, whether you know, a sharpshooter in basketball, or a punter or a kicker in the NFL. It is difficult. And at quarterback, where by far you have the most amount of pressure, talk to the media three times a week. You basically are in charge of relaying what the coach is telling you to your other teammates and then running the play, knowing absolutely where all other 10 guys are doing and what the defense is doing, anticipating what they're going to do, and then when they do that or do something different, adapting on the fly. And like I've always said, the most underrated attribute of a quarterback isn't size, isn't arm strength, isn't accuracy, it's toughness. Because ultimately, you're going to get fucking hit. And you're going to get slammed to the ground by guys that run 4.8 40s that are 310 pounds. They're littered all over the league right now. It's impossible to quantify that. It really is. So, drafting always has been and always will be very, very difficult in general, let alone at the quarterback position. There is no such thing as like, this guy has a high floor. Bullshit. Mac Jones had a really high floor. No, he does not. Every player is the same. They're either going to maximize all their talent or they're probably going to be average or suck. There's not like this middle ground usually, especially when you draft guys high. It's why Mac Jones, another team. Trey Lance, another team. Justin Fields, another team. Zach Wilson, they can't even trade him. He is not a tradable player because I haven't looked at his exact salary. If I had to guess, it's $8, $9 million this year. No one, if he was a free agent, would give Zach Wilson a one-year, $8 million contract. Honestly, his market would be like 1 year, $1 million. It'd be veteran minimum contract. So no one's trading for that. I would guess the Jets are going to have to cut Zach Wilson. Kenny Pickett, the following year, was basically just Mac Jones reincarnated, who could run a little faster. But the other thing that is at the forefront of this league, because of the money, because of the society we live in, there is no patience anymore. No one's giving you 4 years to figure it out. We don't got time. I was thinking about this. I was watching the Warrior-Knicks game. Jalen Brunson, God, that guy's a badass. Looks like a little NFL running back. Guys like Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley, he was just working the Warriors. I'm like, this game sucks. The Knicks are kicking the Warriors' ass. I'm not watching this. So I went in the other room and I watched Love is Blind, which I don't pretend to. I watched the first season a long time ago and I'm watching this. It's the most absurd show I've ever seen in my life. To say I love you to someone that you can't see and are talking through a wall, let alone get married to that person, is... Now, this all could be fake. It probably is. But if there is any truth and reality to this show, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen on television from human beings. And maybe it's just the cameras are on, they're trying to, you know, become quote-unquote stars or Instagram famous or something. But if they're actually meaning the things that they're saying to each other without ever meeting each other, I mean, getting married to someone you've never seen is the crazy... And I'm like on episode two, and these two get... He gets engaged. It felt like after like 2 days, they're kissing and loving. It's like, this thing has no chance to succeed. These people will be divorced in less than a month. But it's very entertaining, though. I'm not too cool to admit that I was pretty entertained just because it was so absurd. It was so over the top. And I almost want to believe that these people actually believe it. And listen, there's enough crazy people in the world now that I think there probably is some sincerity in some of the things they're saying. But none of us have time anymore. And time is always, you know, and has been forever, the most valuable asset we'll ever have. And the older you get, you realize that. You start realizing, God, I'm almost 40. How much life do I have left? Like, what, you just, how much money is worth to you? Like, no, my time is worth more. Doing things you want to do are the most valuable thing you'll ever have, whether that's with your family, whether that's with your children, whether that's with your own company, whatever, whether that's at your job. But like the time, what you allocate, the older you get, it's not, you don't get infinite amount of it. And these teams and these coaches, there is so much money on the line. These jobs are so important to have because of what they pay in their profession. Obviously, there are only 32 head coaches, 32 GMs. They're just not waiting. And it has been on the forefront these last couple of years of like, Kenny Pickett, you're bitching and moaning, see you, get the fuck out of here. Trey Lance, you're not even close to good enough. Go to Jerry. Mac Jones, head to Jacksonville with your parents. See ya. I mean, it's just, Zach Wilson, please, someone, we will take some footballs, a 12-pack of Gatorade Zeros, and some chicken wraps, and we will pay for his flight to you guys. Please. And people are like, nope, we're good. We want our chicken wraps and our Gatorade Zeros. I mean, that's where we're at. So we're just, which I enjoy. Patience is someone else's problem now in the NFL. Like, hey, maybe you'll figure it out, but we don't have time because we're all going to get fired. Our owner, and forever, and this gets back to the Al Davis, and just I think the league was in the 2000s. It was much more difficult for teams. Think how many owners pre probably 2010, when the money really jumped at the new CBA, kept a coach that they wanted to fire because they didn't want to pay him to do nothing. I've been paid to do nothing one time in my life for about 3 months. It was an incredible feeling. I mean, it really was. I'm not lazy. I would
say I'm relatively ambitious relative to the rest of society, and paying to be, do nothing. At the time, I was probably 31 years old, making like 85K, and just getting those checks of like, what if this was $10 million and I was an NFL coach or one of these players that just gets bought out and told to go home? Like, that is, historically, people do not want to do that to anybody. You don't want to pay someone to do nothing. And you, historically, a lot of companies or professional leagues couldn't afford to do that. So you just kept people. Now it's like, get this guy out of here. Coach, GM, player. Obviously, players make more than coaches and GMs, but the urgency is ramped up. And I think it reflects the world we live in. Patience, and I'm an impatient person normally, or naturally, but I would say what I'm at currently has amped up tenfold, just because the way the dopamine hits from the phone, if something is boring on television, you got a million other options. Like, why do you think Netflix is doing this wide receiver series? Like, they've gone all in on these shows. Why? Clearly, people are watching them. I'm not a NASCAR guy at all. I mean, I could list 10 NASCAR racers in the history of the sport. But I was bored probably within the last month. No, what it was is I was flying to Indy, and I needed something to watch, and I couldn't find a good movie on Netflix. And I found basically the F1 full swing version of NASCAR. I'm like, I'll download a couple for the plane if I get bored. And I was glued. And I was like, God, this is pretty entertaining. And I think what a lot of these shows are, F1, what the golf show is, I didn't watch the tennis, but I would imagine that's pretty entertaining. NASCAR, this wide receiver show, what the quarterback show was, is it's not diehard people watching. Not that they don't watch. It's the casual person. And now I'm more inclined, like, oh, what's Joey Logano doing? How's Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan doing? And, like, I understand, like, I watched the golf one. I'm like, yeah, this kind of hit or miss. But if I'm a casual person, some of the stories might grip me. And that's where, like, when I used to get sick in the 90s and stay home from junior high or elementary school, I had 5 channels. I had ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and like the local 31, which was like a lot of local stupid shows. And you only had whatever was on those shows or those channels were what you watched when you were stuck at home. That's why most people my age watched The Price is Right, because that was on at 10 a.m. when you were sick. I didn't have, like, unless you had some VHS movie, which back then you had to rent at Blockbuster if you didn't own them. So you were kind of limited to what was on television. Well, now I got 10 million options. Oh, what's on Apple Plus? What's on Paramount? What's on Hulu? What's on the Peacock? I think these quarterbacks and coaches think like that with quarterbacks. Million quarterbacks every year coming through, easy to upgrade. If this guy stinks, we can't keep playing him. And whether he's making $7 million on a top 10 quarterback contract or whether he's a mid-round pick like Sam Howell, get out of here. See ya. We're on to the next one. So all these quarterbacks in this draft, starting with Caleb, because there is no such thing as a can't miss, to Jaden, to May, to JJ, half those guys are not going to be good at all. And half those guys are going to be lose their starting job within a couple years, because that's the world we live in.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use.
They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I feel like the Jets, who I just read right before I hopped on, are signing Mike Williams, former Charger wide receiver, which totally, if I was them, I would do that too. I would say it happened a lot in like the 90s and 2000s. It happens a little less now because professional sports teams are just smarter. I remember it happened like with the Rockets when they signed Charles Barkley. They had Akeem. They had like Clyde Drexler. They just got all these big name dudes that were older and hope they could like find some magic. It still happens occasionally in the NBA for sure. I mean, shit, the Suns with Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Happens still in the NBA because of big name guys. In the NFL, a big name guy usually has to take pay cuts and he goes, and everyone acknowledges like he's probably not as good as he once was. Like when J.J. Watt left the Houston Texans and went to the Cardinals, it was like, yeah, he's probably going to be nowhere near what he once was in his prime. And he was still actually pretty solid when he was healthy, but we all knew when he was going. Like Tyron Smith, still a good player, but no one thinks he's like in the peak of his powers. Mike Williams, like always hurt. We all kind of acknowledge it. But it does feel like the Jets, and I don't blame them, because they can't go all in on hoping like young players succeed. Like, they're all in on Aaron Rodgers. So when you trade for Morgan Moses, who I've always sneaky kind of liked, sign Tyron Smith, you sign Mike Williams, obviously your offensive line, you can't afford for it to be as shitty as it was last year or you're screwed. But it does feel like a throwback team. Like, this doesn't happen as often in the NFL anymore. Because teams are always balancing like the future and the present. Feels like the Jets are strictly just focused on like week one. Like, just let's just find a way. Because if they don't and they're not in the playoffs, like, everyone's getting fired. Like, that's going to happen. And to me, the crazy part is, if we just assume their defense will be solid, which it's been up and down a little bit for the hype, but definitely hasn't been ultimately their problem over the last couple years. The pressure on Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old coming off an injury is pretty high. And if I was a Jets fan, I'd rather have, obviously, Aaron Rodgers even off an Achilles than Zach Wilson. But it feels like it could go bad really quick. And I've been hammering this up for a while. Hard to see it going well. I think if it goes well, it'd be one of the bigger surprises in the NFL. Because older players get hurt. And they're literally signing some guys that are big-name guys that have made a lot of money that get injured a lot. So I think the Jets are like the ultimate case study of like, yeah, this feels like a team that someone would have put together back in 07. Typically not in 2024. Couple other things that happened. Chase Young signed with the Saints for $13 million. 1 year fully guaranteed, according to a guy named Adam Schefter. Which, that's a lot for my taste, but totally understand teams being interested in him. He plays a premium position. And then I read today on Pro Football Talk that he needs neck surgery. And he will not be available till hopefully early on in training camp. That's crazy. I don't think I could sign him if I was a general manager to a guaranteed contract at a number like that until he was healthy and could pass the physical. Now you go, well, hey, other teams were willing to do it. Yeah, I'd let another team take that risk. We've already seen this guy be injured before and be a shell of himself, what he once was as a rookie, and definitely what he was as a college player. Now you're getting someone coming off a neck surgery that plays a position where literally you hit your with your neck like every play. I find the risk on this signing extremely high. Now, maybe I'm biased. Maybe I'm down on the guy. I think he's pretty overrated. I think he's as stiff as a board. I watched him go through the motions in the NFC Championship game. But $13 million for a guy who immediately needs neck surgery, I just have a hard time sitting in a free agency meeting with the GM, the head coach, the defensive coordinator, the assistant GM, how we come to the conclusion like this is worth the risk. It feels like there's way more risk than the upside. Because what's the upside? When's the last time he showed to be like a borderline Pro Bowl level guy? You can be like, well, we're not quite paying him like that. Well, you're not paying him nothing. It's not like you're paying him $3 million. You're paying him $13 million. The other thing I saw that was pretty nuts, I'm all for trading for disgruntled players or a highly drafted player from another team, especially when you don't have to give up much compensation. So I get the Browns trading for Jerry Jeudy. You go, listen, situation's been weird. They soured on him. Even if he's a little overrated given his draft's position, we still liked him coming out. We want to get a hold of this guy. Then I saw today that they gave him a contract extension with $41 million guaranteed. How could you give a player who has been extremely underwhelming a huge contract extension when he's never played a snap for your team? Like, I understand trading for T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk or L'Jarius Sneed. Hey, we'll give you some picks. We give him a big extension. Like, you know, guy's been a really good player. Put him in your system. You feel confident. A.J. Brown, happens all the time, right, with high-end guys. To trade for this and to extend him, that seems like bad business. That seems a lot like Chase Young. Like, what's the point of this risk? What was he going to do? Hold out? You go, well, what if he has a great season? Then we deal with it then. I don't know. And I think they'll go, well, if he has a good season, this is a discount. Seems like a lot of things have to go well, you know, for this all to align. Because if he is just 20% better than he's been, which would be a drastic improvement, he's still not worth this. Sometimes I see things in the NFL, and I understand the cap's gone up, so money, you know, 41 is the old 28. Why would you be in the business of extending players who haven't shown to be high-end, impactful guys that haven't played for you? Like, what? Don't you want to wait and see, like, oh, how he fits in the culture, how he gets along with their coaches, how him and Deshaun Watson have any chemistry? Wouldn't that be something that you might go, yeah, let's figure this out? We literally just might have signed one of the worst contracts in the history of sports. Let's just be easy when it comes to some question marks with players once we trade for them.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Warning, this product contains nicotine.
Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, let's dive into the Middlecoff mailbag. See if I can say my own name right. Middlecoff mailbag. Just my Instagram, at John Middlecoff, two Fs. DM's wide open. Fire on in there. Get your question answered here. Little thing we call the podcast. Adrian, wanted to shout you out. Big fan of your work. I had a comment a while ago that you had on your mailbag, so I wanted to hear your opinion on something. With the likelihood that the Vikings or the Giants look to add a quarterback in the top five, a blue chip wideout or lineman could fall to the Bears. In your opinion as a scout, what should the Bears benefit more from drafting? Someone like Joe Alt or Malik Nabers, if either are available, we can do the other guy plus Odunze. I think that's a pretty tough question. What I would do if I was them is you have a pretty good idea, right? Probably you're taking a quarterback at one, and then I think you would factor in three other quarterbacks go before you draft the nine. So let's just, for the way we're doing this exercise, say they go two, three, four. And then I think it'd be fair to assume not another quarterback is going to go till you pick. So five, six, seven, and eight. So you have a list of your top five players, not named Caleb Williams, in the draft. Right? You know Caleb's probably your top player. You're going to take him number one overall. And then you get five guys. One of those five guys is a 100% lock to be there. Potentially, a couple of them could be there. So you just have to decide. I think they're in a position, take your favorite player on the board. I don't think you could go wrong taking a wide receiver, because if you assume you're going to be better this year, even if you miss the playoffs, but you won 9 games, you might never have the opportunity to draft one of these wide receivers that are really, really good. So Adunze or Malik, and you give them right to the quarterback. So he basically gets to inherit a veteran and for the next 5 years of his career, build up with this guy. Because Keenan Allen is a one-year rental. I guess they could look to extend, but if I was a betting man, he'll only be on the team 1 year. Detroit Lions fan here. Still riding high from last year. Should be. We were expected to take a big step, but nobody, including yourself, had them on the same tier as the Niners or the Eagles. Some even put Dallas ahead of us most of the season. Now Mike Greenberg on the Crapole show Get Up is claiming we missed our window. How can a team miss a window if they weren't supposed to be there in the first place? Wouldn't last year have only proved our window just opened? You have to understand, these people, podcasting is why I like this medium so much. I can talk about whatever I want. Right? I don't need to manipulate these topics over and over and over again. Now, you are playing the hits. I mean, we talk a ton about Caleb Williams. I'm not breaking down the guards in this draft. I, like you, don't give a shit. But to like the window conversation in February and March in the NFL is a stupid conversation. It's such a wasted exercise. And like you said, and I saw that happening with the Bills on First Take. It's like, no, they don't, the window doesn't close as long as you have the quarterback, guys. How could the window close when all their players are young and ascending? Now, is it going to be harder? Yes. Should the Packers be better? Yes, they should. Should the Bears be better? Yes, they should. But are we sure the Eagles and Cowboys aren't going to be worse? The Rams just lost Aaron Donald. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. I like Greenberg, though. But that's a stupid cut. The Lions, of all the teams that, quote-unquote, their window closed, they're rolling back the same team. AFC was better than the NFC prior to free agency, but seems like the gap is now a bit wider. The Texans, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Jets all improved. Thoughts? Bears, Lions better, but Cowboys, Eagles, Rams are worse. Just seems like the gap between the conferences is primarily due to quarterback. Yeah, you know, I mean, the Niners easily could have won the Super Bowl. They had the lead in overtime. So, the conference in the AFC, or I mean, the AFC is the conference, but the depth of teams in that conference is clearly better. They have better quarterbacks. But the way, who cares? Like, once the playoffs start, the Packers don't have to play Josh Allen, right? They get to play Dak Prescott. So, like, yeah, you intermix during the season, right? As an NFC team, you play one of the divisions. Like last year, the NFC West played the AFC North. So yeah, you play Burrow and you play Lamar one time, then I don't have to see them, any of those guys again until I get to the Super Bowl. So I think some that can be somewhat overrated. In baseball or in some of these other sports where you play more games, but you're not playing that many out-of-conference opponents. So I don't know if it matters that much. I guess is the long-winded way of saying, like, ultimately, if let's say the NFL is 100, let's just use it as a math equation. Like all the teams equal the power of 100. And ideally, if the two conferences are equal, they'd be 50-50. But let's say the AFC right now is like 65-35. Ultimately, does it matter? If like the 35%, if two of the three teams make up 20 of it, and if they're in the conference championship, like I think it's definitely fair to say the Niners could have beat the Chiefs, and if the Lions had won that game, they already beat the Chiefs earlier in the season. This is not a scenario, this isn't a 7-game series. If this was basketball or baseball, I would say that would matter more. It's just a one-off scenario. And it's like the NCAA tournament. It's why you see so many upsets. You get 40 minutes.
right? You don't get best of three. All your videos get me through the workday. Appreciate your hard work. That being said, longtime Steeler fan, I keep seeing reports that we're going to be aggressive throughout the offseason. Today, somebody reported we are possibly looking at an Ayuk trade. I saw Ayuk said, tweeted at Mike Tomlin, said, do we look like each other? I would say not really, but how much sense does it make to give a first rounder either in 24 or 25 for a guy do a boatload of money? Well, the only way the 49ers can trade him to you is for a first rounder this year. Like they can't trade him to you for a first rounder in 25. So if the trade was going to happen, you would have to trade. I'd have to look at the, I don't even know. What pick do you have? You won 10 games, bounced in the first round. I guess if I had to educate a guess to pick 21. I said this yesterday. Like pick 21 for Brandon Ayuk, you could argue it could be a win-win. Steelers get Ayuk. He's good for them. He helps Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. He helps them win a playoff game. The 49ers pick an excellent player or with their two draft picks in the first round, and both teams are happy. Or the Steelers give Ayuk $25 million a year. He's good, but he's not great. And then the Niners miss on the pick that they get. So it can be a disaster for everyone involved. It'd be less likely for it to be a problem for the Steelers because I know Ayuk's good. But like, I think the problem with Ayuk, and I like him a lot. I want him on my team. It does get complicated when you have to start talking these contracts. I would love Brandon Ayuk for $18 million a year. And I understand the cap has gone up. But to pay him a ton of money, it's just like I struggle to pay any wide receiver a ton of money who's not an elite guy. You could argue the 49ers were cost the Super Bowl because Deebo Samuel couldn't get open because he can't really run routes. And against most teams, it doesn't matter. You get him the ball, he'll break tackles, get him some quick screens. And against a lot of teams, he's able to get open. But against the Chiefs, who had elite corners, he was fucked. And the Chiefs knew it coming into the game. They weren't worried about Deebo Samuel. They had the advantage. Which you could say, hey, it's like if that's the only place. Well, yeah, I gave him $60 million because he's a great player. But then in our biggest game, he can't really function. And this is like first-class NFL problems, but these are the discussions you're having. I think Ayuk is a lot like T. Higgins. And this is the problem with the complicated. And I understand if you're those guys, you got to try to break the bank. But if you break the bank on them, are they ever going to be a top seven wideout in the league? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't. But I think the Bengals and the 49ers, if you were sitting down with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin, they'd have a take. Because the answer is either yes or no. Like, yeah, I don't see them that good. Or, yeah, we believe Ayuk keeps getting better. He could be the, you know, fringe top five wide receiver in the NFL. Have 3-year stretch where he's catching 100 balls every single season. But they have an opinion. I promise you that. I'm torn. I just probably lean no, and I like him a lot. But if I'm going to pay him a boatload of money, I can't. Both teams fall under the same category. Of like, you know, the 49ers already pay Deebo Samuel a lot of money. Can you have two wide receivers making a ton of cash? The Bengals are going to have two guys. Like, I just don't know if you can build your team that way. I mean, technically, you can choose to. Is that a good decision? For the Steelers, like, if you're Tomlin, I would do that trade. I would do that trade. Because I'm trying to win a playoff game this year. I've got time to wait. Do you think Chase Young is on the similar path as Clowney? Extremely talented, but production never really seemed to show what was expected. I think Clowney is a way better player than Chase Young. You could argue Clowney is an underachiever, but I think he's in a different universe than Chase Young. Like, I would rather have Clowney at every step of the way than Young. Clowney feels like he's a much better run player and definitely in his younger years. he just, his sacks aren't there, but I think that they're not really comparable. I mean, Clowney had a really good year. How old was he this year? 23, came in the league at 24, or 2014. He just turned 31, so he was 30 this year. I will be stunned, and I mean floored, if Chase Young is still good at 30 years old. He's 24 now. I don't think they're comparable. It's interesting to hear your takes on the tipping culture, and I was having a discussion with my friend about the automatically added gratuity. I find it interesting that restaurants may add 18 to 25% gratuity, and the servers might expect even more on top of that. Are restaurants keeping their gratuity? It was my understanding that they pooled and split it among the servers on the shift. That's a good question. If you automatically add gratuity, you know, it usually happens like if you're on a bachelor party or with a big group dinner for work and you have a big bill at a nicer restaurant, it's typically automatically kicked in, right, at 18, 20%. So if I have a $1,000 bill, let's pick an even number, and you add automatically 20%, so I'm giving you $200 on top of the $1,000. So my bill with taxes is like $1,300. I should not be obligated then to add more tip. Because even if I added a tip, let's say it was 10% on top of the $1,000 bill, I'm giving you a 30% tip, assuming that the gratuity gets split and pooled between everyone, which that's my assumption. Could be wrong. Anyone in the restaurant industry, I don't know if the auto gratuity is pooled differently. I would have assumed it was. To me, if it's auto gratuity, you do not need to tip at all. Unless the server has been really cool and you've been like the point person and you want to, you know, leave her $20 or $50 or something. But you are not obligated, in my opinion, to leave a tip after that. I'm traveling to Tucson next week and wondering if you ever spent time down there. Any recommendations to do in that area in Arizona in general? I'll definitely be checking out Scottsdale at some point. I've only been down there for work. Back when I scouted, I went through Arizona and I went to an all-star game there once as well. But I've never spent much time in Tucson, to be honest with you. I know people that do really like it, but I don't really have any recommendations. If you come to Scottsdale, hit me up. Not because I necessarily want to hang out with you, but I'll maybe point you in the right direction. Just kidding. I probably would hang out with you if I knew you, but I think you have the best takes. God, you guys are great. Now that the Bears are officially taking Caleb Williams at number one, what position do they take at 9? I get asked this question a lot. And this gets back to the RG3 conversation. This is what makes the Bears such an awesome place to go. It's like, wait, so I'm going to a place with a number one pick that already has a ton of veteran talent, and we also have the number 9 pick where we easily could take one of the sweet wide receivers for me or take one of the offensive linemen for me? It's the Bears went from pretty questionable less than a year ago to now with the DJ Moore sweat ads, having the 9th pick as just a destination that Caleb Williams should be excited to go to. He also can become a star in one of the biggest cities in America that loves sports and specifically loves football. If you resurrect the Bears, and this gets back to RG3's bitterness, like he had a chance to resurrect Washington, which is a historic brand. And because of injuries, because of ego, whatever, he blames, of course, he's always pointing the finger, like, yeah, it was the Shanahan fault. Some of it could have been your fault. I remember your dad demanding a different offense. And who knows? You know, there's been some questions with Caleb and his dad. But in the NFL, no one gives a shit what your parents think. No one cares. Just like in the real world, your boss does not care what your parents say when you are a salaried employee. Like, this isn't high school. And Caleb has the opportunity to do what RG3 couldn't do. Change a franchise for a decade and resurrect a franchise. The difference here is, like I said on the podcast, the Shanahans didn't want Robert Griffin III on their football team. They didn't. And he knew that. These guys want Caleb Williams. Anytime someone wants you, it's a little bit more powerful than when they not only don't want you, but they kind of resent the fact that they were forced into taking you.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.